Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Third time on the show, and actually might as well just say it, like pretty much 4 years to the day. It was like August 9th when we started the show, when you're the first guest.
It was hot that day.
True.
Yeah. It was hot. Remember, no AC.
It was a scorcher, no air conditioning in here.
How far we've come.
So we got a packed show today. That was Curses. He's going to be dropping tunes all day. We have a live set by Zena Rubinos coming up later. We have one of the boys from Worst Gig Ever sitting in. Awesome podcast. But first up, we have the wonderful Claire Moyle, who is from Brooklyn, but we met in Stockholm last August. during the Brooklyn Brewery, Brooklyn Sweden and festival.
And we had like probably like that day that we spent together afterwards was like the most epic, like Swedish day.
It still rates as one of my the best days of my life. I think.
It was just we woke up after the festival and it rained all week and it finally kind of stopped raining, and we just walked around the old city. Walked down to the museum.
We saw guards marching.
We
had drinks at the Grand Hotel.
Yep.
Which, for anyone who hasn't been to the Grand Hotel, it's like exactly what you think a building of a country very that's never been hotel. In any type of war. That's,
yeah.
It still exists. And then we went to a really nice dinner, and then we went to go see the XX.
Yeah.
And we, like, hustled our way into the list on, like, in another country.
What is that venue? Burt's?
Burns.
Have you played there?
Those olives are good.
I'm sorry, this olive is... taking over my soul.
Give me that.
This olive is delicious.
So
the reason I have not played there.
It's great. It's beautiful. And that was like one of the first shows of the new XX stuff. So Claire's here because we're going back with her to the second annual Brooklyn Sweden Festival in Stockholm. Third weekend in August. It's going to be amazing. What's the relationship between Brooklyn Brewery and Stockholm and Sweden in general?
So Sweden is our second largest market overall. So essentially outside of New York, Sweden is our biggest market. And Stockholm being the biggest city in Sweden basically there's a huge concentration of people drinking Brooklyn Brewery beer and they're huge Brooklyn Brewery fans out there.
Yeah, but and you're also opening a brewery there, right?
We are, yeah. We are partnering with Carnegie, and we're going to open a brewery there, yeah.
How do you get to Carnegie? Brooklyn Brewery.
How do we get to Carnegie?
Well, Darren.
Well, it started with, we actually did a collaboration beer with them, the Carnegie Porter, a while back, and over time just built up a relationship, and... they really want to revamp their brand, and they asked us to be a part of it, essentially.
That Brooklyn alignment. I mean, there's that article that came out, like, maybe was it 6 months ago, where it talked about how, like, people from Stockholm and Sweden love just anything Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And it's just, and you guys were cited, and then you're like, and now we're going to open a brewery there. It's like, okay.
Yeah. It's really exciting.
So, last year, it was very music-centric. You guys did have some food there. There was really great specialty sort of pairing with beers, things like this, but now the whole thing is more of a culture event. Can you talk about what the differences are?
Right. So last year, yeah, we focused very heavily on music. We sent about 16 bands from Brooklyn over. But, you know, this year we realized there's many other parts of Brooklyn culture that we didn't focus as heavily on, and we really wanted to incorporate some more elements like art and food and film and comedy and, you know, just kind of showcase all the things that make up Brooklyn.
Which we're very excited to be part of that as doing one of the barbecue blowouts there with you.
So who are some of the acts that are coming over? Can you announce it?
Yeah, so the headliners are Designer Drugs, LP, and Lydia Lunch.
No way.
Yeah. It's quite an eclectic lineup, but I think it'll be really, really awesome.
Can I just get Lydia Lunch drunk and just have her tell her stories to me about like what it was like to be in New York from the 70s and 80s?
I thought that was the plan.
Okay.
I mean.
She's actually not going to perform. She's just going to get on stage. We're like, what was CBGB's like? Let me tell you, it was a shithole.
Just interview her.
And then we got some DJs coming over too, right?
We do have some DJs coming over. Fingers on the Pulse.
I know those guys.
Yeah, you know those guys.
Those hacks.
Jonathan Tobin is coming over.
Soul man himself.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, Jonathan. He's going to do the Soul Club dance off. It's going
to
be...
By the way, shout out to that guy for coming through like a champion.
Yeah.
That, for anyone who doesn't know, he was in Portland taking a nap in his hotel room and a car drove through the wall of his hotel room and landed on him. This happened.
Yeah.
Now he's on tour.
And he's still...
Yeah.
Unbelievable party machine.
Yeah.
You know,
fantastic. He outparties me any day.
Yeah, and it just kind of
we have the technology.
Yeah, so he's like the $6 million DJ,
yeah.
But like all on 45s.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited. Yes.
What are you looking forward to the most?
I mean, I'm looking forward to all of the different like how it all comes together to show people what Brooklyn's all about. I mean, I'm really excited about everything. Usually, I'm super into food, so I'm really excited about the food, and I'm huge into LP, so I'm very excited about LP.
We put together a good menu.
Company Flow?
Yeah, Company Flow.
You know, it's really great to watch these festivals kind of take off. You know, it started last year as, you know, it's just like, well, let's just get it out there, and then see how it refines this year, and to see how it just continues to grow over the air and incorporate, you know, the Brooklyn aspect, but with the Swedish filter
right.
on top of it.
Right.
So where can you get information online? Where can you get tickets?
So you can get information on Brooklyn Brewery's website, as well as Debaser's website.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, we'll be posting stuff on our Twitter and our blog and Facebook page as
and
well.
We'll send some stuff out as well.
Yeah.
We're really excited. If you ever want to hang out with us in Stockholm. We'll be at the Grand Hotel. we'll just be at the Grand Hotel.
Posting
the
Grand Manhattan. Hotel.
Enthusiastic.
Actually, I've been doing some research. I found this on that Saturday, since it's not an all-day thing anymore. I got this island that we can go check out and this inn that we can go eat at.
That sounds fantastic.
Try and top last year's.
It's a magical day.
Yeah. You can't top. It's just going to be different.
It's going to be different.
Okay,
different.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Hang out. We got some pizza coming. We got some olives.
Is it wicked? And can I lick it? Would you taste my bloody teeth? Testing the limits of intimacy. Round knuckle tries to temper my desire, but the drain builds pressure. We'll be right back.
Before we move on to Worst Gig Ever, I would be remiss to mention...
Not mention.
Double negative. The song contest that BK Brewery is offering, which spawned such great hits last year, like I Take the G Train.
Last year we did a song contest, and the theme was the G Train, and we had a ton of submissions. There's a really good auto-tune version all about the G Train. This year the theme is going to be Coney Island, so you just submit your song with a video included by July 31st, and you could win a trip to Sweden for two, and then you could also be a part of our send-off show at the Rock Shop.
Amazing. Amazing. I heard Death Cab for Cutie's going to submit a song.
I was going to make that joke, but I was like, no one's going to remember that.
They have that song coming out. Well, Worst Gig Ever, what's up? Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thanks, guys.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Mike, and I am part of the podcast called Worst Gig Ever.
You know, how long have you been doing it?
Just over a year.
I think your radio voice is better than my radio voice.
That's, that might be debatable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just, you have a more classic radio voice.
Thank you.
So for the people who cannot figure out from the name of your show, what is your show about?
Well, Worst Gig Ever is basically a conversation between some guys who used to play in bands and do comedy stuff with other people who used to play in bands and do comedy stuff about the worst shows that they've ever had.
But it's also a mix. It's sometimes not worst shows. It's like their interpretations of
what might be
a bad. Like Aaron Fenning from Awards, who did not ever seem to have bad shows.
His worst show was getting hit on by Misha Barton and turning her down.
Yeah.
So, you know, Aaron Fenning is of that special ilk of like him and Dev.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm forgetting his name from We Are Scientists.
Keith Murray.
Those two guys are just like unflappable.
Yeah.
Those guys are like, well, I didn't hit all my threes on the pickup game of basketball.
Like, it's
open to interpretation what Worst Gig Ever is, but it's essentially a talk about like all the ridiculous things that come with kind of being a performer or being an entertainer or basically being an artist.
Yeah, and you also had Jess Rotter on there, which I thought was a great episode of it, who is at Light in the Attic, but PR person.
Yes.
And then her own interpretation of, I guess, just like worst days ever.
Yeah, well,
or worst interactions with bands ever.
It started off being very kind of much like an orthodox, like we want to talk to people who played in bands, we want to talk to stand-up comics. But then we decided to branch out because just a lot of people like in the arts or what have you also have this interpretation of like what is a worse gig for them. And in Jess's case, she, you know, not only does she do PR and she's an illustrator, but she also had toured with that band Dunyan for a while. So she got it from kind of the other side of the fence.
She had that crazy party story
where they headbanged till they broke the table.
Yeah, but I think they put on was it Ignition Remix? No. It was some song where they broke the table.
Yeah, it was a Black Sabbath.
Black
song.
Sabbath.
Yeah. Or Ignition Remix.
Or Ignition Remix,
Hey, one and the same.
Might have been a Black Sabbath remix.
So what is the worst of the worst? Of now, how many you've done?
We've done about 60
episodes. What is the, you went, how the fuck did you move on from that?
Well, that is the question. That's the eternal question. Like what, you know, and for one person, it might be like, you know, vomiting on stage or whatever, to another person getting like the threat of physical violence or getting into a fight or like, you know, the equipment breaks down or there's nobody. There's so much criteria as to what goes into like for each person, what makes the worst show. So, you know, anything that deals with any kind of like physical malady where you're like literally are being obstructed or from doing something because you have to vomit or you have some kind of other kind of you know what I'm saying.
I don't know. I also heard that from the episode, there's a lot of like hipster on hipster, like passive aggressiveness that turns into like hand on hand violence. There's a lot of like throwing people up against like walls or like not cool man or
as I'm sure, you know, anyone who has toured in some kind of capacity realizes kind of the stress that you are under, the amount of times that you're spending with people in close proximity. And after a while, sometimes, you know, that builds to a head and you need to let off steam. And people get into, you know, physical altercations after a while. And maybe you had a great show that night, But then your drummer decides to throw you up against the wall in Madrid because you accidentally hit him in the head with the merch luggage container.
Just for example.
Oh, that, yeah, which that...
That does not sound that specific.
No, yeah. Well, let's just say that that happened to me.
But I mean, and for Luca, for, you know, DJing is such a solo affair majority of the time. Like, do you happen to have something for, like, a worst gig ever or something that comes, or do you feel like it falls out different for DJs? Like, no one picked me up or no one was at the club versus, like, you versus bandmates?
Yeah, I mean, definitely you're going to have a crazier worst gig ever when you're with the band. Because you got that tension, you're traveling together, you're sick of each other.
I mean, I feel for, like, DJs, like, worst gig ever is, like, a certain loneliness that comes with it.
Sure, you get lonely, then you make friends, but, there's the you get spoiled. It's like,
yeah, it's like,
this hotel? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to ruin it, but, you know, the episode that is out now featuring the Bresnitz twins,
yeah,
they have some pretty good DJ worst gig evers.
But a lot of it, though, has the tension of us being together a lot of the time. So it's not like
we never fought on the road when we were on tour.
Yeah.
For the listener, yeah, for Greg just gave a look at that.
But I mean, not
on
the road, but I think it's not, maybe not on the road, but just like the tension of traveling together where it's like, you know, it's like you're not, you know, it's like you have to. I mean, when we traveled together as Punches, there was definitely three strong personalities on the road.
Three old Jewish men.
Three old Jewish men. Traveling around together, kvetching. Yeah. But I think, like, the solo DJ, it's pretty much like your car's there, your per diem's there.
That's kind of like the stand-up comic, too. You go in by yourself, you do your thing. You really, you know, depending on what you're traveling with, you could be just having an iPod or a microphone or, you know, maybe you're lugging your records back.
But what it's going to come down to, though, it's going to be, like, how good was the show? Like, that's really, like, when you're doing comedy or DJ solo stuff, it's like, it was either a good show or it wasn't a show. And surrounding stuff is not really that big of a deal.
Unless you get, like, robbed or mugged, but that's not the same type of...
That will qualify. There are certain people that have had that as their worst gig ever, too. You know, getting their gear ripped off or getting beat up outside the show.
I think when you're traveling solo, it's more about maybe the worst travel experience, but it's not specific to the gig. It's what happens outside of the gig.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, that makes sense. Like, you missed the train or anything, but it's more just like logistical stuff for solo people as opposed to the special tension of just being trapped in, like, small compartments with other human beings that you are not married or dating or have anything, and you have to rely on them.
But like you said, the logistics, I mean, that's what was another reason we decided to do the podcast, is to, like, let people into what it's actually really like. They just see you doing your hour or whatever set a night, but everything else, the other 23 hours, all those logistics of how do I get to this place? We have to spend all this X number of hours in the train, on a plane, in a car with one another. You know, all of the rigmarole of everything else that goes into doing whatever you're going to be doing.
Actually, Luca and I went on tour together. I tour managed Luca, and we had, like, the best week ever.
That's a very memorable tour.
Because it was
food tour.
Food tour. Because it was, I mean, 2007.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we, like, had met a couple times before, but actually on the episode that Darren and I did for your show, we talked about a food experience, and I didn't mention the artist, but it was Luca. We went to Miss Ann's Snack Shack, to Home of the Ghetto Burger. And it was just... But that was, like,
phenomenal.
Just, yeah. But, like, I had my job to do. You had your job to do. And that was it. There was, because we got up at, like, 6 a.m. to go to, like, restaurants and things like that. And, like, if someone else had not been on the same page, it would have just been, like, tense. I could have seen one person coming and throwing off the whole dynamic.
Sure, sure. You all have to be on the same. Like, in my case, when I was touring, all three of us in the band really wanted to, like, take advantage of where we were. Let's get whatever the regional delicacy is. Let's do it. You know. And so when you're all on the same page about that kind of stuff, it makes it a lot easier.
I think one of the things I like about this show the most is that it has this very DIY, please kill me type of element where you listen to it and you go, oh, I could start a band. I could do this because everyone goes through it.
Absolutely.
You know, everyone has these terrible experiences of being in a band. And that's one of the refreshing things about what you guys talk about.
Well, the idea is that nobody... At least I don't want to hear about, you know, the Arcade Fire being carried off the stage in front of 50,000 adoring fans, freeze frame, fist in the air. I want to hear about the Arcade Fire playing in front of three people and bombing and, you know, equipment breaking, because that's what humanizes
I actually had a friend who knew them from Montreal back in the day, And one afternoon, he's like, you want to hear some fucking stories? And just, like, laid out pre-success stories. And I was like, I like this band even better.
Let me clarify and say, I don't want to hear Arcade Fire stories at all. But the idea being that it's not a Schadenfreude type thing. It's like you can humanize with this quote-unquote larger-than-life type character when you hear about, oh, they are just like I am. They do, you know, fuck up and have these shitty gigs.
Now, you guys are turning this into a web TV show, right?
Yeah, we are.
That's great. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, we were approached by a production company that's working with YouTube, and they wanted to they loved the podcast, and they wanted to see if we would be interested in turning it into kind of a show for the web. And they said, we want to do kind of like a Charlie Rose with an internet sensibility type. And I said, that's perfect, because that's how I describe myself.
Of course.
You know? So it's a perfect fit. So we shot a pilot, actually, with the guys from We Are Scientists. Black curtain, round table, Charlie Rose's rotting corpse just hanging in the background.
I think pickled from the alcohol.
Pickled, yes. Pickled from the olives, courtesy of Roberta's here. We're in the process of kind of putting the show together, and hopefully it will be on YouTube sometime in the next.
Was that a new site?
Months.
Never heard.
It's the letter UTOOB. .net.
They're like
I should have clarified that. It is YouTube.
They're like, well, we would have had you till you made that joke. You know, they know. Yeah.
They do.
Right. So where can people find the podcast? How can they listen? How can band submit to get
The plugs. Worst Gig Ever is on. You can look it up on iTunes. Worst Gig Ever podcast.tumblr.com. We're on Facebook. You can email us worstgigever@gmail.com if you've got any stories.
Have you gotten to the point now where you have so many requests of bands to be on that you don't have enough time?
They're just coming in. In fact, I made sure I put my phone on silent because I'm the barrage of emails that we get. No.
It's very therapeutic to be on the show.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is to talk about, I mean, you got to be able to take, once you start taking yourself too seriously.
I mean, I went back and listened. I was like, this breaks down essentially like 8 years of our lives into an hour.
Yeah.
Which is weird to think about as well. But like all the stories are in there. And it's like, huh, I don't have to remember any of these stories now.
There you go.
I think we missed the one where we missed our train in Barcelona. And we had to sleep on a pile of trash.
Yeah.
And the idea being is that you're far removed from it now that you can look back and realize how ridiculous it is and laugh about it. And that's the idea behind it.
I mean, I was laughing about it then. I mean, what do you do in those situations? Like, there's not much.
Nothing.
There's nothing to do.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Hang out. We got some pizza up there.
I'll be here.
We got Curses coming up next. Talk about new single, new project. But first, you're going to play a tune for us.
I'm gonna play a tune that I collaborated with these new kids here called DKDS.
Oh, yeah. They just signed to your...
Signed to the same management on Deadly. And, this is a... It's a long one, so we won't do the DJ outro on this one.
This is really just a break so we can eat pizza. Yeah.
So we'll have a couple slices.
It's a good pizza break. It's a pizza party.
All right. You listening? Here we go.
Pretty good.
I don't know.
Again, is that the kick drum?
I thought we weren't going to do the DJ outro.
We got pizza feast over here.
We're literally in argument if it's a young Alan Arkin or Stanley Tucci just sitting outside from us.
I think it's his brother. He's got
Stephen Arkin.
If I'll put it this way, if it's not him, then he's definitely let them be confused and like get into places and get reservations.
Looks like he's got like very Italian European glasses.
Guys, we're. I'm gonna blow. I think he's with Bobby Flay too.
Just from the back. So Luca, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Curses, welcome back to the main stage.
Yeah,
thanks.
After hiatus.
After a little hibernation.
Let's talk about the decision to resurrect Curses and a really well done Instagram feed.
Thank you. I think I was just getting tired of mosh pits and people getting crazy and rowdy, and I needed a little deeper, more relaxing poolside after hours crazy vibe.
Which is funny because we were talking about this before. It's like I feel that you helped create the scene that you are. What was the name for the Troublemakers?
Troublemakers.
Like, you incited the riot, and you're like, you know what, I'm not...
Were there actually... There were mosh pits?
All the time. They still have, like, you go hear some dubstep artists, you're gonna have a mosh pit breakout. Like, I didn't get into DJing to have mosh pits at the...
I've never been to a dance party where there was a mosh pit.
Many times. Festivals where a circle pit breaks out.
What was,
like,
the first time you saw a mosh pit at one of your sets?
probably when we were doing early Warehouse Trouble and Bass parties. So like 2000, like 10 or so, they started getting crazy when we would do things with like Todd P, and we'd up and do events at like Don Pedro's, and all of a sudden you'd have like a mosh pit breakout when you play some weird bass tune.
Sounds like most surprising gig ever.
But the thing is, we all grew up on like punk rock, and
we
instigated it. I mean, we would have mosh pits on stage while DJing.
Right, and then you're just like, you know what?
And then I was just like, damn, I'm getting tired.
Getting too old for this shit.
I'm getting too old.
Too old for this.
You know, I wanna see lovely ladies dancing and good people and good vibes. I also really got attracted to the whole after hours magic that happens with techno and house. And
what time are we talking? Like the 5 a.m.
Yeah, like 4 to 8 a.m. to like me is prime time.
Yeah, where like it doesn't even really fill up until 2:33.
Yeah,
or get there. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean it's a great thing, and you know there's a longevity in it as well. So what is it that from like where you know you had curses before you put away to drop the line, like now when you bring it back, what is, you know, how has it grown up or how has it changed from what it used to be?
I mean, it's evolved in the sense that it's definitely deeper than what I was first doing, but it's still really inspired by Chicago and New York house from the 90s. So a lot of like the classic dudes like Marshall Jefferson and Robert Owens, and combining that vibe with the newer sound and analog, also making everything only analog synths, only analog drum machines.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So nothing pulled from the box, everything.
Nothing from the box. Just having that happy accidents that happen with analog gear.
Right.
Really, it gives a fresh twist to the song.
So does that mean that like there will one day be a live Curses show, or is it always going to feed into tracks and it'll just be
no,
DJ
it's,
sets?
No, it's a DJ thing. It's definitely a DJ thing.
I don't think any band wants to play a 4-hour set from 4 to 8 a.m. No, but I mean, you could have...
You know, like Voices of Black?
Mm-mm.
They're amazing. They're based here. They do incredible live deep house, live saxophone, synths.
Yeah. I mean, people can do it, but again, that's not a one-man show.
It's not a one-man show.
Yeah, they probably get into saxophone fights.
I mean, I did the band thing. I can't... I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I did the live show, dropped the line. I'm ready to go back to solo for a while.
Yeah? So, what comes, like, now that you put it on pause, like, where does, like, Curses going to exist? Is it a tour? Is it EP? Is it just, like... like playing some quiet gigs and just kind of building slowly.
No, we're huge. We're doing a lot of touring right now. It's like I have I did a Ten Snake tour, and we did dates with Maya Jane Coles and just U.S. and it's like North America, U.S. and Canada. So now I'm doing a whole European tour in September, and doing Asia and all as Curses.
I mean, and you know, speak besides just like being tired of like seeing, you know, bros mosh, like. Taking us, you know, the idea of like taking a step back as an artist where it's like it might not be at the same level, but like refocusing, you know, where did you feel like that went into decision? Like, how did you really refocus in order to like be like, well, we'll do this and change the goalpost backwards before we move them forward again?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really started to happen again with After Hours, and I realized that that's the right audience. And then playing at festivals where it was just like, you know, 20,000 people, they didn't really care who was playing.
Right.
And they just wanted to get crazy and mosh. And so that's when I was like, all right, I need to take a break for a minute.
Right.
And play at the proper festivals where people are there for the music.
You want to name check any festivals?
No. I'll keep it.
Okay. But for that, it's like, what's the day look like? Do you like go to bed at like, you know, noon, wake up at like 1 a.m.? Have maybe a bite and get there at like 3. You know, what does the schedule look like for an after hours DJ?
I just keep going.
Wow.
Honestly.
Just nonstop.
Yeah, I just keep going.
Like work in the studio all day. It's got to be a nap somewhere. No naps?
I'm not a napper. If I take like a 30 minute nap, I'm out.
Oh, it's like no.
I'm out.
It's no resurrection. I like we've perfected the mood of like going home, sleeping for 40 minutes and like pulling yourself out of bed and just kind of like waking up on the train.
Yeah.
Which is like a tough
I sleep in transport.
Yeah.
That's on an airplane, I can just sleep completely easy right away.
I feel like that is also the breeding ground for some worst gig ever stuff, where it's like your bandmate's trying to sleep and the guy like knocks him and he's like, man, I've been looking forward to this nap all day.
Or you got the pranks that happen, which can be fun.
Yeah.
Or the guy who's driving who wants to listen to music and the guy who wants to nap.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big...
I don't know. I think the prank stuff, though, it's like a thin line between like...
Pranks,
it's
if you like, want to sleep, you know, when someone's drawing a mustache on you.
What's the...
game over.
And all your guards are down.
You're finally at rat.
You're like, hey, man, like, that's not cool. You're like, what the fuck? The fuck?
What's the best prank you pulled?
I was just going to say, this was amazing. This was when I was touring with the live show. I bought a giant bag of plastic cockroaches.
Yeah.
And we would just get each other so good. You know, can you get me my phone out of the glove box? And then there'd be like three cockroaches, you know, in the hotel room. It's a little hot in here. Can you go turn the air conditioning on? You know, open the little lid and
that's
cockroaches.
Like a really elaborate, like, did you see them? And you're like, oh, man, I'm a line item this. I'm going to expense it back, but it's going to be... It's gonna be work.
It was good. It's because we had toured around Halloween, so we went to some Halloween stuff and picked them up. But then it got out of hand where we start pranking, you know, bartenders and waiters.
Yeah, and they're not.
And then it was like they'd get mad.
Yeah,
like well, you, in the check, you know, you put it in there. Put a cockroach. They open up the little credit card holder.
Yeah, you're like, and I'm not paying for this. Like, there's obviously a cockroach. In the meal. So what comes next? What for the rest of the summer and for the fall?
So, yeah, just touring a lot. Touring. Right now I'm just doing U.S. gigs on weekends as Curses. And like I said, September, October, November, it's Europe, Australia, Asia.
It's amazing.
It's a lot of fun. And what's fun is I'm kind of starting over, so I'm playing all these new parties that I didn't play as Drop the Line before.
Which is great. I mean, and they're like similar size, a little bit smaller or...
Yes, they're a little bit like, it varies. Like I'll be playing smaller rooms than I'd be able to play as Drop the Line, which I love. It's more intimate.
Right.
The crowd is there. They're really into it.
And I mean, how much do you tie the two together? I mean, before it was when you like, they're both kind of like separated worlds.
No, they're completely separate.
Yeah. And there's no leverage of one for the other.
It's like two different worlds and I'm putting Drop the Line on the back burner.
Yeah. Hanging up the guitar for a second.
Hey, taking the strings off.
Wiping it down with a nice oil. Just wiping it down. In its case. Right, so where can people find information about you? And
CursesForever.com. And everything's the same with Twitter, Curses Forever. Instagram, Curses Forever.
Right. Do you want to take us out with one more song before we get the band in here?
Yes, let's kick it out. I'll do another one with the DKDS boys right here.
Right.
Called Lil Locust.
Great on Snacky Tunes.
Okay. I mean, that's a little different move than the hearing it to the end and the handles.
Hey, just, you know, it's all our... I mean, we're essentially DJing off of... playing songs off of iPhones. They weren't made for...
I don't know if you remember, but during the first show, we would, like, set up the whole turntables and bring it, like, do the full rig. The first, like, 30 or 40 episodes.
And then people are like, we're DJing for 12 minutes. This seems a bit excessive.
Yeah, like, show up with, like, the records and the Serato and the headphones.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the stand.
Yeah.
And they were like, laptop stand here.
That's, you're going too far.
Too far.
Too far.
Well, now it's time for the live music. I think I got it. Senor Rubinos. Boom. We heard you during warm-up, and your voice was great. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Who you are? Did you enjoy the pizza?
I'm from Hartford, Connecticut.
And, 84. Worst traffic. Come on, right?
Yeah, it's not so pleasurable.
Are you a Whalers fan?
Am I a what?
Whalers?
Whalers? Not really. I do get a little nostalgia from seeing anyone wearing a jersey.
I've seen two or three guys with Hartford Whaler tattoos.
What?
I know. I was like, that is commitment. I was like, you may have been six when they were last a hockey team. So you're from Hartford.
Mm-hmm. I live in Brooklyn, and I make music. And my first record, Magic Tricks, just came out.
What was it like to make your first record? Now, are these songs that you've been carrying with you for years?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been writing music for a while, and some of these songs I wrote like 6 years ago, and others I wrote recently, and I co-produced the record with my drummer and co-producer Marco Buccelli, and we made it with a lot of love in Greenpoint, so it was a lot of fun.
Can you tell the difference between a song that you wrote 6 years ago and a song you wrote a few weeks ago?
Can I tell the difference?
Could the listener tell the difference of, like, do they sound so sonically different?
Because no, it's been... I don't think so.
So you found your style.
It's not like old cheese in the refrigerator. It's just music. So you can't smell, like, there's no smell on it that's like, oh, wow, that was... Unless I wrote it in, like, the 60s or something, but I'm not that old, so...
Oh, yeah, this track doesn't smell yet. Just put it on the record. Yeah. It's got that stanky track. Yeah. So how would you describe your music?
I say that I write songs. I find it really hard to describe it, and I'm trying to work on that. So hopefully next time I see you, I'll be able to give you a better answer.
All right, well, let's hear one, and then maybe we can describe it. Or the viewers, the listeners can write in.
The viewers can write in.
It's like a Havarti or a Gouda blue cheese.
They'll send in a pigeon carrier. Yeah.
So what's the first song you have?
This song doesn't have a title yet because I just wrote it. I'm still working on it.
Awesome.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
Exclusive. All right, here we go on Snacky Tunes.
Like a little lost cat up in the tree, like a lonely dog without a flea, like a last standing villager on his knee. What you feeling, what you feeling's all over me. I'm gonna tell you what you wanna. You're a million black stars and the feeling's black night again. I'm gonna tell you what you wanna. Night again.
Wow. Nice. Woo. Powerhouse.
Yeah. I have no idea how to describe that. We'll just put that in the awesome power song. So earlier we were talking about worst gigs ever, and we're wondering if you wanted to share a moment of not greatness of being part of this whole musical profession.
Let's see. I think once I got asked to move my car in the middle of a set.
They're like, hey, I'm going to let you finish. But
they're like, yeah, this is really great, but you got to, like, you know, your van's a little bit kind of, like, in the way. Like, can awesome. You...
Like, did you have just, to get...
I got to... Yeah, I had to, like, get off and, like, move the car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You got to get that wow. rhythm section just working a groove.
Yeah.
While you're, like...
While I'm out.
Going around the...
were you able to retain the audience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was laughed off. It was fine. But it was a little cray. Oh, won't God. Be back there, but...
I've never
heard
that.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
That's a first.
That's a first.
Worst, yeah.
So when writing this, you know, what was your practice of writing this album? Did you have certain food that you like to eat, certain places you like to go? What was the mindset that you got yourself into write these songs?
I was pretty much in my basement for months and then at a studio mixing. So I had a lot of takeout. There was a lot of dumplings. I like dumplings.
Nice. What's your favorite type of dumpling?
Pork and chive.
Who got you through the writing sessions? You can name check them.
Who got me through the writing?
Yeah, which dumplings?
Sounds like Vanessa's.
Well, Vanessa's is really good. I also went to Snacky in Williamsburg.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like my
Which has been
go-to.
There for forever.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of an awesome go-to spot because they're open late. They're cheap, they're good, they're friendly. It's like, ooh,
yeah.
Really good
yeah.
stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that was for emphasis.
And they've just kind of like been around for such a long time and like
are you
were there before.
Are you a steamed or you were pan fried?
Steamed. Definitely steamed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like a good pan fry. I like that crisp on the bottom.
It's that crunch.
It's that crunch.
You alternate though.
Yeah, I like to mix it up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily best for the heart, but you know, that crunch on the bottom, that brown, just kind of makes it really, really nice.
So, and now living in Brooklyn, how often are you on the road? And when you're on the road, you said you write with your drummer. Like, is it full band? Is it solo?
I play as a duo with my drummer, Marco. So I play keyboards and loops, like vocal samples, and he plays drums. And we're on the road pretty often.
How do you guys get along?
We get along really well, so that helps.
No band tension?
Not really, no.
What's the drive situation? You got a van? You got a car?
I have a van. I have like a church van, basically. It's like an ex-church van.
What's
a 12-passenger?
Oh, one of those white.
Yeah.
Growing up Jewish, I don't. The reference is lost on me.
Excommunicated from the church.
No, yeah. you have Jewish minivans.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got those.
Y'all have minivans, yeah. No,
when we did that tour, we were in a minivan.
We were in a minivan. Great way to tour.
Yeah, it was. They really know. I mean, if they're gonna fit a family in there, you can fit a band of. And a tour manager in there. Mm. Really?
So now that you're in Brooklyn, do you miss Hartford at all?
Not really.
No,
I've been gone for a while. There's not much there other than insurance. And I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
I got it. Do you want to rip us another tune?
Sure. Yeah, do we have time for like just one more?
Yeah. How about you want to do?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Wait, I had prepared two, but it doesn't
okay,
matter.
Yeah, let's get... We'll have you play, then we'll tag you out, and we'll let you get another one in.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good. So
okay, this one have a name?
No, this one's new too. You can call it Palo, which
okay.
is like. Palo, 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 se va a bailar. Dale viento al mar en su paladar. Tú eres palo, 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 se va a bailar. Tú eres. Dale viento al mar en su paladar. Palo, palo.
entregué tus sueños a bailar. O el martes pasado para entregar. Te pregunto si vengo a bailar. O el martes pasado para entregar. Te pregunto si vengo a bailar. O el martes pasado para entregar. Te pregunto si vengo a bailar. Arrestarme.
Imagery. I'm saying Paolo goes to dance. Give him a good taste in his palate. I'm saying, and then I'm saying, you promised to get me a good job. You promised to get me a good job. I'm asking you if I should come today or last Tuesday to get interviewed.
Pretty good. Sounds beautiful.
Beautiful. Is that you doing the backing tracks as well?
Yeah.
All right. So I want to make sure we get one more song in. So you want to tell people what you have coming up? Are you going to be going on tour for the record? Where can they come see you? Where can they buy it?
Sure.
All the nuts and bolts and everything.
Yeah, so my record's called Magic Tricks, and it's out on Bada Bang Records, based here in Brooklyn. And
awesome cover.
Thank you.
Is that you?
That's not me. That's the photographer that started posing naked for this photo because it wasn't working. So he's like, I'm just going to do this. And it worked out. And so I'm the photographer technically, but... Yeah.
A little role reversal.
Uh-huh. And so the record's out. It's available. You can listen to it on Spotify or buy it on iTunes or wherever you want. And you can check my live dates at sonyrubinos.com. We're going to go head out to the West a little bit this month in August. And we have a date coming up at the Brooklyn Museum, too, for their audiophile
nice.
Season.
Let me just do it for our listeners. That's a X-E-N-I-A, Rubinos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just so they know.
Yeah. Thank you.
So
Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, all that.
All that.
Mm-hmm.
How's your Instagram game?
How's my game?
Yeah.
I'm working on it. I'm new to the game, so I need some tips. I feel like I'm kind of sideswiped by the whole video thing.
Oh yeah, you signed on and you had to master two things now.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, I don't know, maybe I should just Vine it, and maybe that's
Is that
where
video thing catching on. Are people doing that?
No, some people are. I think people who do Vine are really serious about. They're like 6-second craft work.
I'm very serious about Vine.
Really?
I'm very angry that Instagram did the video. It's not as good.
Most people
It's
are.
Not as good. It's yeah. too long. Like, I don't want to watch a 15-second video.
Too yeah. long. It doesn't loop.
Yeah.
It doesn't loop. I saw some music things. Some guy, it was a staff pick on Vine. This guy who did like a 6-second loop rap about like gummy money.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Nicholas and this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, and it just looped, mm-hmm. and it was so infectious. It was so good, yeah. and it had like 600,000 views. I was like, and that was the first time on Vine. I went, okay, it's like sort of more of an art form than mm-hmm. like Instagram's. Just like, well, shit, we don't want to lose people. That being said, I don't know if I want to set up a whole Vine account. I'm missing out.
You're missing out.
How's your Vine game?
I do a lot of like comedy skits.
Okay,
on the Vine, like very, very. Structure
a lot of cockroaches
scripted. Yeah
a lot of cockroaches
yeah.
we'll be checking out your Instagram feed.
Yeah, maybe
we'll send some tips. We'll do it offline though.
Yeah, if there's a good one in particular, you know, if you give me kudos for that, and I'll try to, you know,
I mean,
we're going easy. With
I heard that the rule of thumb is that if a photo of yours gets liked by 10% of your followers, that's like the direction you should go in.
Okay.
So that's a pro tip.
Really?
Yeah, it's a pro tip.
Is that an actual tip?
Yeah. Anyway, wanted to take us out with one more song. Thanks for listening.
Thank you to all the guests.
Thanks, Mom, for showing up.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Aww. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, and if you get to Roberta's, get the olives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on fire. And look out for Cursive Olive Oil coming out. Coming to an after hours near you.
Yeah.
It'd be really funny if, like, next to the DJ booth, there was like an olive oil with some, like, ripped bread, some samples. Yeah.
I'm down.
Family yeah.
style.
You get hungry at 6:30 in the
late
morning.
Night. You're hungry.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. What's this last one? Does this one have a title?
It does. Yeah. It's called Hair Receding.
Okay.
And it's off of my record, Magic Tricks.
Is that a dig at me?
It is.
It's okay.
No, it's not.
It's afraid of my eyebrows. All right. Here we go. We'll be back next week. Another good show. Have fun, Greg. Have fun in LA.
I will.
All right. Take us out.
Don't you do it, it's the right thing.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.